Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Epic Podcast. Introducing your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the spacious and beautiful Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, Episode 4. My name is Nelson Lugo.
And I am the other guy.
Really? That's how you're gonna start this?
Yep. I've decided my new that's gonna be my new intro on the show. I'm now going to be a function of you. I will now be the other guy. It'll be the Epic Podcast hosted by Nelson Lugo and a guest.
We can't do that. I can't credit the other guy. I have to credit you.
It'll be credited in the show notes on the website.
No. This is half yours, remember? Yours.
Right. I now have two microphones. Yeah. And that part's mine. Microphones are mine. That half of the show is mine.
Oh dear.
The gear.
Ladies and gentlemen, directly ahead of me is, of course, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Hi.
The purple clad prince of darkness. The Adderall addled brain working on his new album.
Yep.
How's the new album coming, buddy?
Still coming. I've been working on it. You know, I felt like I worked on it most of the early part of the year. I was kind of writing some songs without a lot of direction. And it wasn't until about halfway through the year I came up with an idea to turn this record into a concept album.
Right.
And then I came up with a concept. And then I started writing songs to kind of tie the whole concept together. So it's become a more focused project because I have direction now, but at the same time, it's become a bigger project and a more complicated
one. Well, where are you? Are you like halfway done? Are you a quarter of the way done? Or is it still too early to tell?
I feel it's safe to say that I am halfway done.
Oh, wow.
I most of the songs are written. There's still a couple of songs I have to finish writing, and a lot of the songs they're completely recorded and the vocals tracks have been edited and comped and it's all prepared for mixing. I'm not going to be mixing it. I'm going to find somebody else to mix it.
Sure.
And now I'm writing scripts for these skits that tie the whole concept of the album together. So I have to finish writing those and I'm bringing in another writer to help me with those and then get the voice actors together for that and record that while finishing up a couple songs. But,
So when you say this has turned into a much bigger project than you thought, you're not kidding. You're talking voice actors, you're talking scripts, you're talking not only are you making all these songs, but there's a narrative through line that's going through the whole thing as
that
well.
That is correct.
Goodness gracious.
My previous records, it has just been all of the songs that I had written randomly for 2 years, and once I had a handful of them, then I would record them all, do final recordings of them all, and then put them out as one record and throw some skits in there kind of haphazardly.
Sure.
Now there is a concept, there's a narrative, and so I'm trying to keep it kind of focused.
Good
to that.
Gracious. Well, I wish you nothing but the best of luck on that, buddy.
I got a little boost to my momentum.
Oh, that's right. All right, well, tell you what, let's do our catch up segment. So what's up, Schaefer?
Right, that's how we begin the catch up.
What's up?
Well, as I previously mentioned, I've spent most of the last month, as much like the previous months, locked in my apartment in solitude, working on this concept record. I did get a bit of a boost to my productivity as well as my momentum this month when New York City turned into I Am Legend for a week. Hurricane Sandy came to town and leveled all of the infrastructure of Manhattan.
It was actually more than just a week. It was closer to 2 weeks because we had Sandy, and then literally the next week we had a out of the blue snowstorm that just came out of nowhere. So week one we had a devastating hurricane.
Right.
Week two we had a freak snowstorm that has come and gone, with no evidence of it snowing anytime soon. And then week three was when Godzilla attacked. It was a pretty terrible month.
I know, New Yorkers are already so blasé about everything, but when Godzilla came to town,
nobody
make headlines.
It didn't even make the news.
People are still talking about the cleanup efforts in the Rockaways. And let's be fair, the Rockaways were devastated.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely devastated.
They were. I mean, Lower Manhattan was fucked. I mean, there was... flooding all the way up lower Manhattan. There was no power south of like 14th Street. Battery Park became like, you know, the rat version of Wizard of Oz. It was like, it's like they followed the yellow brick road to the promised land. It was nothing. It was just a sea of rats on top of an actual saltwater sea. It was crazy.
A lot of those rats drowned. And now what we have, we thought it was going to clear out part of the rat population in New York City. Nope. Super rats. The ones that survived.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
The mutant rats that have evolved.
They're huge. They weigh like 40 pounds. They all have iPhones. They all stand on the left on the escalator instead of walking. Look, when you're on the escalator and you're on the left, you walk, you don't stand. But yeah. Not these super rats, no. Nope. So with the city shut down for a week, public transportation was shut down for a week, and it's really, you know, crippling to a metropolitan area like this when there's no public transportation. People couldn't get travel to work or whatever. I couldn't go to my day job for a week because it is in Lower Manhattan.
I had to walk to your apartment.
Yeah. We live technically in the same village, but you still had to walk.
I had to walk.
So I used that time like everybody else. I got wrapped up in the pre-storm panic, and I loaded up my apartment with supplies, which really means beer, and I didn't really leave my apartment for 5 days. And I got a ton of work for the new record done, and I feel like I got some momentum going that I'm now trying to ride out the rest of this year. I may have told people on the internet once that I had this record coming in the fall 2012. That's not happening.
No.
No, this is going to be a 2013 release. Yeah, early 2013, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it just seems to me like you've just, the concept has just grown exponentially since the initial concept. It's just going to take some time, that's all.
It's become a bigger project than I anticipated. I don't know that it's going to work.
Well, I mean,
I'm not really sure that it's a good concept, but I've committed to it and now I have to execute it.
Well, I've heard some of the tracks, and I must admit, this is some of the best work you've done so far.
Oh, you're too kind.
No, like, yeah, I mean, I've heard some of them. There's a couple of them that I still think need to grow on me, but I think you're still working that out for yourself.
Yeah, true.
But there's a few right off the bat that I've heard you do live already that I'm just really enamored with. So,
well, thanks. I'm going to be really excited when it's done, and then I will finally be able to catch up on all these guest verses that I've put on the back burner. Sorry, rappers. Hey, Nelson Lugo, let me ask you a question.
What's that, Schaefer?
What have you been up to?
My. Let's see. I don't know if you heard, but there was a hurricane in New York.
Covered that.
Yes. You know what the supplies I bought? I was woofully underprepared for this storm. I come from Florida. So whenever I hear of a hurricane, I'm like, ah, man, this New York doesn't know fucking hurricanes. We know fucking hurricanes. So I went to the store and I got a 6-pack of Sam Adams cherry wheat, 2 boxes of blueberry, some lactose-free milk, and a pie. That was it. That was it. That was my hurricane supplies. Luckily, nothing happened. Luckily, our area of the story was largely unaffected.
Right.
But I spent a lot of that time playing video games, basically, and being bored out of my skull and being livid mad that we had to cancel our Halloween show. And had to put on hold a lot of things that Epic Windrush was doing because of the stupid storms and snowstorms and hurricanes and Godzilla attacks and whatnot.
Oh, right. That was another thing that happened. I forgot about that happened during that week.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be a Halloween show.
Yeah.
An Epic Win Halloween show that I was going to host. And it was also Epic Win co-producer Mary Sin's birthday party.
Yes, it was.
And obviously it got canceled because Lower Manhattan was dark and people couldn't. Even if people could get to the show, there was no power at the venue.
The venue that we were at had no power whatsoever.
So obviously we had to cancel the show, but it was still Mary's birthday, so we got a bunch of people together.
That's right.
And we went to a bar in Brooklyn.
That's right.
We couldn't get there because there was no public transportation, so we got a ride.
Yeah.
Somebody gave us a ride. We went to this bar in Brooklyn. We had a great time.
We did,
It was such a fun night, hanging out with friends. Everybody was like, Sandy, you're not going to keep me down and putting on our costumes and having drinks. Yeah. Boy, that was a fun night. Up until I lost my iPhone in a cab and broke my toe.
That's right.
Like a professional.
Yeah, well, correct me if I'm wrong. You broke your toe because you lost your phone, and in your anger and two-year-old tantrum, you kicked the leg of your couch.
That's not true. That's not what happened. What happened was I came home. I frantically tried to email you because we shared a cabin. You were still in it on the way to your apartment.
Yes.
So I'm frantically trying to email you, and I'm realizing I'm not going to get my phone back, and I start stripping out of my costume. I'm wearing this like black metal costume, and I'm like stripping it off, and I'm throwing gauntlets and gloves and spiked wristbands and wigs and stuff all over my apartment. And I'm just storming around my apartment in this drunken, angry rage, and just pacing. And and then I, you know, I didn't kick it out of rage, but I did misjudge the distance that I had, and I clipped the edge of my couch and I broke my toe.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Yeah. Oh, also, I went and got a new phone the next day, but I was made aware when I was, you know, syncing that phone that I had not backed my last phone up in over a year. So I lost a year's worth of contacts, text history, like over 1,000 photos.
Yeah.
So, hey, kids, you got a smartphone and you can back it up. It's real easy. Don't be stupid. Back it up.
Yeah, I've already given you a ton of shit for it. I'm not going to give you any more
shit.
So
did the whole internet. I posted I lost my phone and lost all of this data.
What did you expect was going to happen?
And everyone on the internet was like, oh, you know what? You can sync that with the cloud. I'm sure I can in the past.
Yeah, no, you know what? No. You get to take the hit on that one because you can't post on a social network about how you're sad that you've lost all your contacts for the past year and not take the hit of the internet telling you you should have backed it up.
You should have done something.
Yes.
Or chime in with their bullshit brand loyalty and be like, you know what? If you had an Android, thanks, you helpful fucker. That really fix this problem.
Fuck you, Shaven the Dark Lord. You take the hit on that one because you posted that publicly.
Oh, are you telling me I'm asking for it?
Yes, you were totally asking for that one.
Well, that may be, but I guess I should never doubt the internet that you will be a dick in the comments if somebody posts anything. You know what I think is tasty? Chocolate chip cookies. Those are bullshit. White chocolate macadamia nut. Yep. That guy's out there.
Let's see. What else? What else did I do?
Oh, well, you did get to do one show.
That is absolutely true. The Epic Win Burlesque Presents Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Sexy went off without a hitch, and it was a rounding success. We sold out two nights. In fact, the second night, there was such a long line that the theater added something like 20 more chairs. They pulled office chairs out of their offices for people to sit on. There was people sitting on the stage. At one point, the house manager just pointed to people in the line and said, look, if there's a spot on the floor and you don't mind sitting there, you can watch the show and we'll charge you for it. It was crazy. It was insane. It was a packed, super beyond packed. Like, I hope there's no fire marshals listening, but it was completely illegal, the amount of people that was inside that room. And it was a great time. It was such a fantastic show.
It was a lot of fun for me because I went both nights, which also, sorry people who couldn't get into the show, because I am being a freeloader and sucking up.
No, you're not a freeloader. You are and always will be a member of Epic Win Burlesque.
Well, great. Then I played that card this weekend and I got to go both nights and it was a lot of fun. It's fun to go and see these shows now. And to get to just be a fan.
Right.
Because I always thought that our little crew of misfits was doing excellent work. I thought that we were always putting on very good shows.
Sure.
And so it's nice to go and not know anything about the show, really. Uh-huh. And to have it confirmed. Be like, yes, these jerk friends of mine, they put on a really good show. It was excellent. The Lord of the Rings show, it was just excellent. I had so much fun.
No, it was great. And it was the first show where it was a national cast. You know, we had... Sophie Maltese from
Portland, Oregon.
She's
doing
you.
A Gimli act.
Internet renowned Gimli act.
It was amazing.
It was absolutely amazing. We had Kissa Von Adams from Orlando, Florida.
What up, Kissa Von Adams?
What up, Kissa? Doing The Eye of Sauron. It was incredible. It was such a good time. I'm kind of waiting for some of the press to come back because Time Out in New York did a whole photo shoot, and so that may end up on the internet.
Which night did they go?
They went Saturday night.
Okay.
And
it's always better on Saturday night. Yeah. You work out all the bugs on Friday night, and Saturday night is a much smoother show. Well, everybody's act is more polished.
It's different. Like, Friday night, like, the comedy is fresher, and the moments are more unexpected. And so that always lends to more to unexpected humor. But Saturday night, like, you know, we know what we're doing. We've worked out all the kinks. And so it's more of a solid show. So it really depends on what you're in the mood for. But yeah, it was great. I fucking loved it. I wish, you know, this was the first time that I wish I had a third night to do it, because I would have loved to have done it one more night.
You easily could have.
Easily.
So many people
easily
showed up.
So many people showed up. And so thank you so much to all the fans who came out. Thank you so much to the cast and crew. And it was just a remarkable evening of shows. And I can't wait to do it again.
Got to see both of our previous guests on the podcast there. On Saturday night, Lucas Siegel and MC Front a lot were there.
That's right. Lucas Siegel, MC Front were in the house. Lucas Siegel donated some stuff to our nerd trivia challenge, which was really, really wonderful of him. And it was great. I could spend the whole podcast just talking about that show, but I'm not going to. But
thank goodness.
I don't know if the listeners can tell, but I'm really hoarse. And I'm kind of coughing because I blew out my vocal cords over the 2 days because I was having so much damn fun. But yeah, it was great. And I can't wait to do... in fact, I may even tease it right now. We have another main stage show coming up. I forget what month it is, but maybe you can tell me because I think you're heading it up. We're going to be doing... The theme of the show is Epic Win Burlesque, the musical.
I believe it's in February.
Yes, February, yes. And it's going to be 2 nights... of musical theater-inspired burlesque acts. And I remember your words exactly. You said, Nelson, just sit this one out. I got this, I think were your exact words.
Look, if it comes down to the two of us being selected to put together hosting duties for a show based on musical theater...
I've been in musical theater.
Yeah, but you don't. Breathe musical theater.
No, I don't.
I am made of musical theater.
I don't think that's a thing you could be made of. But yes, so you're in charge. I'm going to be the guy in the musical who's confused as to where all the music is coming from and why everybody's bursting into song.
Oh, great. You're going to be like a traveler and you've crossed into a dimension. Oh, that's terrific. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're just working out our show plans right now in front of you.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, it's just been a jam-packed month. I mean, I'm just really kind of gearing up for our fourth season, which is insane. And I'm just kind of getting all the pieces in place for that and building a sort of a staff for our nerdy burlesque festival at the end of next year. And it's just... A lot of lists. Lot of lists. But I'm really excited about this podcast because we have a very, very special guest here.
Well, we don't yet.
Well, no. I mean, she'll be here in a moment.
That was another thing that happened during the hurricane. I want to address this that I have not... Because I have not mentioned this once on social media. But it was in the middle of hurricane week.
Yeah.
I am legend. It was in the middle of hurricane week. And it was announced... that Disney was buying Lucasfilm $4 billion. That adding to that announcement, they were going to produce a new trilogy, episode 7, 8, 9.
Yep.
And I have not spoken publicly about it yet. I don't think you really have either.
I think I chimed in on somebody else's post about it. For the record... I'm going to tell you later.
Let me ask you something, Nelson Lugo.
Yeah.
Do we have any listener mail this month?
Reader mail. Yes, we do.
Dun, 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 dun.
We've got, let's see, 6 emails.
6. We're blowing up.
We're blowing up. That's literally...
That means we must have gained a listener.
But basically, it's just a lot of loving email, actually. They loved our zombie podcast. They really love... what we're doing and enjoying what we're doing and are very enthusiastic about stuff that's coming up. Mostly it's suggestions as to various things that I could yell out instead of the phrases that you don't like.
Right. Last month I made a call for suggestions for new catchphrases for Nelson Lugo because he needs something other than sweet jumpin' Jehoshaphats.
Jehoshaphats.
Good gravy. You almost said it just now.
I know, because I like saying
holy fucking shit balls.
I was in DC. I was at the DC show, and I said holy fucking shit balls on stage. And then somebody after the show came up to me and said, "Wow, you really do say that a lot, don't you?"
Oh, somebody posted somebody messaged me after that and was like, "Oh, by the way, yeah, saw Lucas' show in DC this weekend. Saw Epic Wind down here, and he said holy fucking shit balls at least twice."
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and that's not a thing that happens. That's your other phrase. So, yeah. What do you got? What did the listener suggest for new catchphrases?
Well, we have Steve K, who refers to us as Mr. Dark Lord and Dr. Lugo MD.
I had no idea you went to medical school.
I never did. He's bestowing honorifics that I haven't earned yet, which is great. Awesome.
I mean, there's no shortage of unqualified people out there referring to themselves as doctor.
True. Tons of unqualified people.
Yeah.
Here we go. So the first word is suggestions for new catchphrases for Nelson Lugo. Sassafras.
Ooh, that's a good one. You say that, sassafras.
I never said it as an exclamation. I always say it as a descriptor for someone else.
Right, you say it as a term of endearment for
yes,
people.
Yes.
You got a lot of moxie there, sassafras.
Exactly.
You say it like that.
I have said it. I've never said it as an exclamation. Ooh.
Oh.
Could that be our mystery guest?
I think that's the door.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a short break to let our guest in, and we'll continue with the emails in just a moment.
Okay, everybody. Parents and makeup. Turn on the 8-track. Now I'm pulling away down from the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the program this month is a professional cosplayer. She also performs burlesque in New York City, working with such known nerdy troupes as D20 and Epic Win. Please welcome to the program, Stella Chu.
Yay, Stella
Hi.
Chu.
How you doing, Stella Chu?
I'm good. I'm sitting in this chair with these headphones and a microphone and two guys.
Yes, you have everything you need. You have everything you need.
I just need a cat. A kitten to pet.
No. If we had a cat, then Lugo would go to the emergency room.
I would die. Why do you want to kill me, Chu?
He is...
You just got here.
I'm
seriously.
Also allergic to cats.
Are you?
We can both commiserate later after the show. Yeah.
But you want this... You want to not be... You want to be able to hang out with them because they're so fun, but...
No, they're not.
Well, not him, because he... He seems to think that the animals that he's allergic to have like an actual vendetta against him.
They do. All cats are trying to kill me. So ipso facto, all cat people are trying to kill me.
So, Stella Chu, thank you again for coming over and joining us.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to Studio 6C.
We've got some questions about cosplay, but we're going to get to that in a minute. First, we want to talk about, as we mentioned in the first half of the program, that we would like to discuss the recently announced Disney buyout of Star Wars, or of Lucasfilm, and the announcement that they are going to do a new trilogy of episodes 7, 8, and 9. And it seems everybody on the internet has an opinion about this, either optimism or skepticism or just still white-hot hatred about this announcement. I would love to hear your feelings about a new Star Wars trilogy being helmed by Disney.
I think it's a great idea. I don't think Disney has ever created anything that's like not been amazing in the box office. Look at what they did with Marvel. I know that they probably didn't have like a huge hand in all the things with Marvel, but it's still that they have a say and they're still funding it, and I think that's a huge contribution. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I absolutely agree for the very same reasons in that lately Disney has as a nerd has done right by me for quite a while now. And I don't see how they could possibly, because Disney likes to make money, and they want these movies to do really, really well. George Lucas had too much money, and didn't care. So I think this is nothing but wonderful news for both Star Wars fans and nerds across the board. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's more. I'm also really incredibly optimistic about it. I think it's exciting news. I think that in with Disney owning Pixar and owning Marvel, clearly they have an incredibly talented team of storytellers behind them. And I think the things that hurt George Lucas's prequels the most is that there was just really clumsy, poorly executed storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Disney's interest in necessarily making money is indicative of them being good movies, because George Lucas made some pretty lousy movies and he still raked in a ton of money. Disney knows that they're going to make a lot of money and they still put incredible talent behind their product.
Well, they concentrate on putting the magic in their films and making it into an experience for their viewers. And you're not going to see some kind of movie that's just pure entertainment where you're not using your brain. I'm pretty sure that whatever comes out of this merger is going to be very beautiful films that are going to have great stories, are going to be very relatable, and are going to be timeless.
Yeah.
And action-packed. And I think they're going to go back to the original formula. All of the preliminary stuff that I've been hearing coming out of this, like some of the writers that they've been approaching, some of the directors that are banging on Disney's door, like, let me do it. It just, all of that just seems like really good, at least on the periphery, on the surface, as being just really good for the franchise. And this, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, Disney's going to do wonderful.
Yeah.
They can do no wrong in my eyes, as far as I'm concerned.
And the fact that, like, Kathleen Kennedy, she's promoted to president.
Yeah.
She is a woman.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
She is now in charge. She's the head of Lucasfilm now, right?
She is. She's the head honcho. She's the lady who calls the shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she has never done me wrong.
No.
If you look at her filmography, wow.
Yeah.
This woman knows what she's doing.
Absolutely.
She was involved. She was like an executive producer on a lot of Spielberg stuff in the early 80s, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So, and I saw, I've watched a few clips on YouTube of those, there was like an interview with George Lucas and Kathleen Kennedy when the news first broke. And he just seems to be kind of glowing in the interviews. Like he's got nothing but total confidence in her. He's always had a great deal of loyalty with the people near him. And she just is exuding confidence of what the future means for Lucasfilm. And I love the universe that's been created by this guy. I just don't think he should be playing in it anymore. And no. I think that people that are around him, I think it's probably time that they actually had a say.
I've been very curious because you've been very public about your distaste for what's been happening with Star Wars and LucasArts lately. And that you've even gone so far as to say that you're no longer going to buy any more Star Wars related stuff because you don't want to put any more money in George's pocket.
I said that, but I've not stuck to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Star Wars pancake makers.
Is that a thing?
Wait, seriously? There's Star Wars pancake makers?
What are they shaped like?
You can get a Millennium Falcon. Yeah. You can get anything you want. You can get like R2-D2.
Is it like a little frame that you put in a pan and you pour?
Not only that, you can get a Darth Vader spatula as well to match.
Dude, we need to make pancakes.
I liked the prequels when they came out, and I liked them for several years, and I defended them
to
people, and I created a lot of fights.
You did.
And it wasn't until I watched those Red Letter Media reviews online.
Which I have yet to watch, actually.
It's this guy that does these scathing reviews of the prequels, and they're serious. They're an hour and a half long each movie.
The reviews are about as long as each film.
They're wonderful, and it changed myself. I remember finishing them and being like, "That's it, not buying any more R2-D2s. Zero R2-D2s from
now on."
I still love Star Wars.
That's not when you made your declaration. You made your declaration when they altered the ending of Return of the Jedi for the Blu-ray.
They made the Ewoks blink.
Not only that, but they added
they gave them digital eyelids.
Instead of old Anakin, it was young Anakin. And I remember you raging on the internet about it.
I did not rage on the internet.
All you ever do.
It's so predictable of me to rage about like the ending of Star Wars. I'm not gonna do that.
You've done it.
I did.
I could go on the internet right now and point out
naked
the countless number of times that you've raged. You raged today on Facebook.
But not about Star Wars.
Well, no. Anyway. But anyway.
You're rageful.
I do. I do.
Ooh, so.
I do tend to rage.
Sound True has such a calming effect.
Thank you.
Here
Thank
in Studio much. 6C, yes.
I want to ask you a few things about cosplay. I'm done with Star Wars.
You don't talk about Star Wars?
I think so.
Yeah, well, I think everybody...
Did you have something else here?
I think all the podcasts in the world have covered this thing to death.
I think every podcast on the Nerdy Show Network has already done an episode talking about Disney Star Wars.
No, I want to talk about cosplay. I want to talk about the cosplay world. I want to talk about what it is, what it isn't. I want to talk about like the personalities in it, and what like how like for instance, if I were to put on a store bought Sailor Moon costume, like if I went to the costume shop and I got Sailor Jupiter, and I put it on. And I went to a con or a convention or some kind of festival, would that technically be cosplay?
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I would be a cosplay person mm-hmm. in that regard.
Indeed. Especially since not only you're putting on a costume, but you're doing something that's a little bit risky by cross dressing. So that actually puts you a step level like higher. But say like you put on like an Iron Man costume or Batman costume or right. even something really simple that was just like if you Agent Smith or whatever, you sure. know, something very simple. You know, that'd still be cosplay. It's very the thing about cosplay is not only are you dressing up as a character, but you're being the character. You're interacting with people. You know the fandom, and that's kind of like the entire requirement is to be the geek,
right?
Be in the costume, be the character.
How does one become a professional cosplayer?
Well, you have to make a decision in your life that you don't really want to make any money anymore. You just don't like money. You hate it. So you're just gonna take on this very, very expensive hobby. I mean, the word professional does not mean that I have specific skills that qualify me as a professional. Professional just means that I make a lot of cosplays. I cosplay a lot, and I have a internet personality in a way. I put myself out there to dedicate my life, like a large portion of my life.
I see.
You know, it could range from like I'd make 20 costumes a year to like I make 20 costumes a year, and I also make costumes for other people. I sell them. I run panels at conventions. I do photo shoots. I do music videos. I make calendars, different things like that. Like you know, it's all about putting yourself out there,
right.
For the audience. It's being a professional cosplayer is to help satisfy you and the audience in your interests.
And the audience by and large would be convention goers.
Convention goers and also people on the internet. I mean, I have fans like all over.
Oh wow.
A lot of people message me in foreign languages. I'm like, okay, yeah.
In the same email? That's a lot of languages to read.
It's awesome. Knowing that people can reach me from far away and not have to see me in real life.
Right, right.
Now, though, you know, you note that the term professional cosplayer means that you don't like money because you're not raking it in from doing this. I think it probably still speaks to like a particular level of commitment that you have in the community. I've seen, obviously, I'm a fan, and I've seen a lot of your work online, and you have crafted some incredibly sensational costumes.
Oh, absolutely!
Yeah, your skills just in the costuming. That's to say nothing of the performance in the costume for the photo shoots, which is also. I mean, it's another skill set.
Oh yeah.
There's a certain level of professionalism that comes through in the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, your attention to detail to these costumes is just. Staggering.
Do you have a particular favorite
of all of my costumes? I mean, to be very honest, a lot of my costumes, yes, I make them, but I also work with other people to make them with me because I am by no means a great seamstress, and I want to help out the artist community.
Sure.
I trade skills and everything with other people to make great costumes together. So right now, in fact, my favorite is Ivy Valentine.
Yes. Yes. And yes. Yes.
Because that one is so good.
It's so good. Oh, crap. Oh,
thank you.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah. So with this costume, I worked on it with my friend Juanita. She is a seamstress who makes amazing costumes for trapeze artists, actually.
And, oh, wow.
She helped me build the costume, and I made the props and armor and whatnot.
You made the, it was the a collaboration. Sword, the yeah. ID sword?
Yeah.
It was a really great collaboration. I wouldn't have been able to do it without her. I fully support people working together to create a costume. I love that costume. It's amazing.
You've had it, and I know you've done another number of photo shoots with it. And that's another thing. I mean to point out to really underscore how it's multiple skill sets involved in cosplay. That it's an amazing costume. An amazing costume.
And
immediately identifiable as I Valentine of Soul Calibur 4, but
five. Yeah.
Oh, she's a four.
But she's the only one that's in like every single Soul Calibur.
That particular costume.
Is the most clothed of all her costumes.
Yeah.
If you look at her other costumes, it's like a little sliver of cloth covering her nipples.
I really have to praise you for your prop making skills, because I've seen some of your swords like in progress of being constructed, and I've seen the finished product, and I would never know in a million years that that is nothing more than cardboard and willpower holding those things together. And they look amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
So listeners, I'm going to be putting all kinds of websites and Facebook and Twitter stuff to find Stella Chu. If you don't know her work, find her, because she's going to be your favorite brand new cosplayer on the internet right now.
Like me on Facebook.
Give her all the likes.
Now, the cosplay community has gotten some attention recently. There have been a few kind of high-profile stories, a few things that have maybe started as blog posts that have gone viral that have kind of torn up all of the social media that I subscribe to.
There's a lot of questionable. I'm going to be tactful. Very questionable behavior by men in particular. As a cosplayer, do you generally have a good experience at these cons, or are you sort of being marginalized? I mean, because there's a lot of fervor on the internet about this sort of thing.
So there's a huge movement that's both, there's a positive movement and a negative movement that's happening with females in cosplay. The positive movement is that lots and lots of girls want to cosplay, and a lot of girls are doing it really well, and everyone's really happy about it, right? And then there's the negative movement that is all about, like, why are these girls dressing up? They're not geeks. They're not true, authentic nerds. Why they don't know what they're doing? Why are they here, treading in our territory? Geeks are very territorial, and
true.
Hot geeks are a emerging phenomenon, and it's growing exponentially, especially now that being a geek is much more mainstream than it was.
I can only imagine that more. I'm going to say people, but I guess ultimately we're talking about women here. More women who want to dress up as these characters that they like and admire. That can only be a good thing for the culture by and large. What do you think is part of the blowback? What do you think is part of the sort of resistance to that?
Well, so I guess this is a little bit, this is going to be a long rant, I think.
please take it away.
Yeah.
As geeks, most geeks of today, back in the days when they were in high school and junior high, and how they loved their comic books and their anime, but they were shunned by society because they were weird nerds and no one liked them. So they have a lot of pent up anger. We have a lot of pent up anger. I mean, I got picked on a lot. I was called the anime freak in high school. We had a long road, and this journey is what identifies us as geeks, and we are now proud geeks, and that's something that we had to work towards. And the fact that these new fans, both men and female, who just suddenly jumped on the bandwagon, we are territorial. We think, why are you here when you didn't go through the same pain that I did?
I've been guilty of that. I have been a hipster hater for a long time, and I think it's because of that. Because when I was growing up, I was picked on and bullied and beat up almost every single day because I liked Batman, because I liked reading comic books, because I had a, because I played a lot of ColecoVision, you know, and, you know, in my head, I had made it up that hipsters hadn't earned it and that they're only in it because it's cool now. But ultimately, I've come to realize that that's, well, A, stupid, because, you know, nerds are nerds. No matter, you know, you could be nerdy about football, or you could be nerdy about art, or you could be nerdy about, you know, theater. It just, you know, who am I to be the arbiter of what's acceptable nerddom?
Yeah.
You know, so, it, you know, going along with what you said, it's sort of like, I had to go through that process of, you know, phase one, I hate these people who call themselves nerds. And then as because I'm an adult, I can look past that and go, no, it's okay. I my anger is misplaced.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to accept when you see a person who looks not like a geek, but as a typical attractive person, and they are wearing, you know, a Spider-Man t-shirt, and or they're wearing geeky glasses, and they're doing like the Instagram photos and whatnot, and they look like your typical attractive person. They look mainstream. They don't look like a geek, and it makes you upset because you're threatened by the fact that they are comfortable with their body image. They are treading on your territory, quote unquote. And as a geek, you know, we've always had confidence issues with both our interests, our hobbies, our personalities, and also our looks, especially. So when we see someone attractive who can do things better than we can, or are doing things wrong, you know?
Right.
You can't hold a lightsaber like that.
Right. It's like, yeah, you're not a geek because you are, because your minutia of information isn't at the level of my minutia of information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's, I know that that's kind of the reasoning of where this kind of hatred kind of comes from a lot in these sort of people in the geek community. By and large, I'm talking about like men, older men.
Yeah, I guess that's really what we're talking about ultimately, I think.
I mean, I know that there are a lot of women that are also like hating on, lots and lots of women that are hating on the new burgeoning geek community. But one of the big kind of problematic things is that people do so much, they do a great deal of projecting. They see somebody and they base on like what that person looks like. They assume that like, oh, well, there's no way that person knows the chronological history of all of Spider-Man's girlfriends. So therefore, they are not as much of a fan of a movie that, you know, a billion people saw this summer.
Well, the thing is like, yeah, they like Spider-Man. So what if they don't know the chronological order of all the girlfriends? They like it. Didn't you want that 10 years ago when you were a kid? Didn't you want that cute girl or that freaking jock to just understand what you liked and to level with you? That's happening right now. Why are we so angry about it?
Yeah, that is exactly it. 10 years ago, you felt like an outcast, and because nobody was into the thing you were into. And now there's this reaction where everybody's really defensive of this thing that they like because everybody likes it.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to, I mean, I've said this many times, like nerds hate change. And they just got used to the way the world worked for so long. When nerd culture passed into pop culture, that transition was kind of abrupt. It wasn't like a smooth thing over time. It just kind of like the move, the all of the things that we loved, Spider-Man, Batman, you know, they became pop culture almost overnight.
Yeah.
And so there's a, you know, the growing pains of having our, you know, the things that we fought for, the things that we were beat up for, the things that we were teased about, that we held near and dear to our hearts, is now in the hearts of everybody. Which personally, I think is a fucking fantastic thing, because that means there's going to be more of it, and that can only, you know, and I'm selfish. I want fucking more Spider-Man and Batman. So, but I guess there are just people out there, men and women alike, who feel like their hard-earned battle is supposed to mean something. Like that's supposed to be a significant thing, when in actuality, it really isn't. It's just fan stuff. It's just fans. We're just fans of it. Mm-hmm. And why can't we all be fans of it? You know, have you, I mean, Stella, have you experienced any like out and out kind of like misogyny, like in person at cons or anything like this? Or
well, people challenge your fandom?
Well, actually, no one's ever challenged my fandom because I've successfully been able to portray myself. If you ever meet me in real life, usually within the first paragraph, I'm talking about something geeky. True. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I'm crippled in our conversation and I can't continue our conversation. I am a geek. I can't communicate any other way. I don't want to communicate any other way. I love who I am. I've had friends, I've seen lots of people out there who've just been very unfortunate and have been attacked multiple times for not being a proper geek and just like pretending and taking advantage of the geek community.
And it
sucks because these girls, though they might not be like, most of them are really true geeks, but some of them maybe aren't. But that limits their chances of becoming more of a geek because someone's keeping them from entering the territory. It's not open, wide open gate as it should be, as it used to be, actually.
Sure. I find that interesting because as a male nerd, I have never been called out on the carpet for my nerddom or my geekdom.
Well, that's because the word geek is a male word. Geek, you have to say geek girl in order for it to be a female word.
Interesting.
Yeah, I my experience on the internet would indicate the same. I try to refer to all of us as nerds so often in the interest of pointing out to some of my peers that every time when they're referring to a woman who has interest in comic books and anime, that they have to qualify it with her gender. You can't just be a geek. Geeks, but the boys seem to claim that as their thing. Why I feel like, and to add to what Lugo's saying, I don't think that like I never have, nor do I think I could name any man that I know that whose nerd credentials or their fandom has ever been called into question ever. But every day there's some new story and posted on Facebook about somebody being a jerk to women cosplaying, or not even necessarily cosplaying, just women involved in any kind of nerdy thing.
Yeah.
For not being real nerds.
It seems like the default
setting seems to be like question their intentions.
Yeah.
Question the legitimacy of their fandom because, I don't know, because you're still hanging on to some sort of attitudes about, because you hated a girl in your math class in high school or something? I don't know.
Maybe it's just me, but it seems like the month of October, like every day I was reading something pretty horrible about misogyny against women nerds.
I've been reading it all summer and all year, actually.
Well, I guess there were like three or four key things that came out in October.
Yeah.
That were high profile.
Comic-Con.
And yeah, Comic-Con being one of them. And I know that, you know, you, Schaefer, you post stuff pretty much weekly. And I read them and I rage about it. But it just seems like it's all seeming to come to a head.
Yeah.
Where we can no longer ignore it. Where we can no longer say, oh, that's just an isolated incident, because it seems like it's just happening everywhere all the time.
It is.
But what I like what's happening now is that each one of these stories goes viral. It seems like the comments are starting to shift a little bit more towards condemning those who perpetuate like the misogyny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like there was the one of the big stories that happened over the summer was the Dirk Manning from Newsarama. He shared one of those horrible memes that's like, you're not a real nerd girl. Oh, you're just a whore who found glasses.
Yeah.
And then he got called out by Jennifer DeGuzman, who's the marketing director at Image.
And that went on for a while.
Yeah. And he still kind of defended his shitty attitude about this thing, like, oh, it's just a joke. I'm just making a joke. Does this speak to your experience then?
Yeah, well, a lot of like I said, the summer, I just kept seeing more and more of these articles about, like, just slut shaming.
Yeah.
And you know what? The girls that give the bad image of they just put on this t-shirt and pretend and glasses and pretend to represent, that's like 0.0001% of people out there. And usually the pictures that are being shared are actually girls who are truly geeks. They're just being contextualized wrong. And it sucks because a lot of girls out there are true geeks. A lot of cosplayer girls who are wearing all these outfits are true deep geeks, and they can probably recite like the D&D manuals, you know? Come on. Like, but everyone's concentrating on the few girls who don't exist. Like, you know, like, because point me out a girl who's famous for not being a geek but pretending to be a geek.
I can't.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably would, because they have like just unfounded anger towards people, and they would like, well, so and so isn't, and so and so isn't, based on nothing, and based on just their own projection.
And then 2 years later, they are a geek. What?
Yeah.
She entered the realm, and now she's one of us. One of us. Come on.
I'm all for exceedingly attractive people loving the things I love, because we have a common vocabulary to share experiences with. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I just don't get the backlash.
I don't even care if they're exceedingly attractive. I just like that there are people that are also into the Joker.
Yeah.
Right. And will talk to me about the Joker and Megatron.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think, I mean, the more people who can tell me, you know, the Flash's rogue gallery, the more people I can be friends with.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Maybe not so much anymore, because it seems like the backlash is sort of going the other way and actually getting pointed towards the people who are creating this really hateful comment and post. But I remember when it wasn't so much, and I kind of felt like I can't be this unique. I can't be this unique special butterfly in this sea of men, you know, who hate women kind of thing. I mean, as a woman, as a nerd, as a cosplayer, how do you deal with this? I mean, obviously, I don't think you're actually getting a lot of this.
Well, it's been really hard. In the past, I was saying a lot. I was being I was very angry, and I was you know, anytime I saw a post on Facebook, I would like lash back and be like, "You're just being misogynistic, and you're not letting us to do what we want." But now I've come to realize that fighting fire with fire isn't really the way to go. Mm. And the best way to do that is to just show people, like, I'm a geek. I love being a geek, and she's a geek, and she's going to become an even bigger geek. Let's all geek together. I think burlesque has been an amazing thing to just like show people that there's a really hot girl on stage. She's taking off her clothes, and she's an R2-D2.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Or even more so, there's a really hot girl on stage, and she's totally just dressed like Jane Cobb, the hero of Canton.
With a mustache and goatee. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You know what? I'm glad you brought up geeky burlesque or nerdlesque, because that's a new and growing thing that's happening all across the country now.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Of which you are a thriving and vital part of, you know, with your work with D20 and even in my show at Epic Win. Oftentimes, as a producer, I feel kind of icky whenever I use the term geek girl.
Then stop.
Well, yeah. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, don't say it.
Well, I kind of do, but it's sort of like if I'm trying to appeal to the mass audience who don't necessarily identify with.
They can use context clues from the list of stage of the performers' names,
and you can say hot geeks.
You can just say hot geeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately that's what I'm kind of doing. I'm using the word like, you know, sexy geeks, you know, hot nerds, rather than the sort of the gender identifier.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't want to gender identify too, because say you do have some males in your show, they're going to be just as hot.
Yes, that's true.
And they're going to appeal to some different people.
Absolutely.
And some new people who didn't know that it would appeal to. Yay.
Yeah, so you don't have to. I don't think, especially in like the burlesque community and the audience that you market your shows to. I don't think you have to say geek girls. People are going to get it. You just can just say hot geeks.
I guess that was just more, I guess, my own self-consciousness and trust of the audience.
Well, if you feel like you're about to just stop.
Well, I think it's...
You've got a brand now. People will go.
Yeah. I think I've gotten to the point where I don't have to use that kind of specific terminology anymore. I could just say Epic Win Burlesque presents, I don't know, the all the girlfriends of Spider-Man, and they would know what the hell that means. Mm-hmm. You know? But I'm really grateful for Nerdy Burlesque in that way, and that it's really showing a side of like the feminine fandom, and even now, even like the male fandom that was not available before.
Oh my god! You know, yeah.
you know, do you think that's going to help in the long run?
Well, it's burlesque is such a small, tiny, tiny little droplet of water in the entirety of that is the ocean of geekery that it's sure. nice to know that we exist, but I don't think for a while that we're going to actually have like a serious voice. People are going to love us, but it's not going to be like a thing that's on everyone's minds. But what I do love about it is that as a pro cosplayer, I am one of maybe few that are burlesquers. And a lot of pro cosplayers are not comfortable doing nudity of any sort.
Sure,
And if they are, then sometimes people are angry at that. They get a lot of negative throwback and feedback.
So there's infighting in the cosplay community?
Tons. There's definitely a huge thing. Thankfully, I've tried my best to avoid it, of cosplayers who are girls who concentrate on the artistry and on the beauty without the sexuality.
Sure.
And then there's the girls who are all about, you know, posing nude and doing alternative modeling. And it's very clashing sometimes. Right now it feels like they're trying to avoid each other or just not talk about it. Or maybe they're even merging. I don't know. But it's definitely a tension between the two groups because of the whole thing where, you know, geeky girls aren't hypersexual stripper looking chicks, you know,
and somehow there's the suggestion then that you are sacrificing that credibility if suddenly you're comfortable in your body and you are able to sell something that's sexualized.
Yes, because they think that you are hot before you're a geek. Whereas a lot of cosplayers were actually, you know, the ones with the buck teeth and the like oily gross hair and the pimple face. And then finally they came into their bodies and was like, oh man, my boobs look amazing.
The duckling became a swan.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Coming into your sexuality as a cosplayer is very, very hard. It is incredibly hard because, you know, the negative stigma with girls being scantily clad in video games characters and anime characters and whatnot, anytime you show a little bit of skin, people freak out. It's still a very modest community, and I'm hoping that it'll evolve into a more open community of people who are just sexual.
Then, so not only are feminine nerds getting internet hate from audience and fans by and large, but they're also getting it internally as well.
Oh yeah, actually, there's like a section of Reddit where it's just cosplay Reddit or like cosplay girls Reddit, and you're always gonna find some post where it's just like, look at this girl and her fake tits. I hate her.
Oh dear.
And it's like, okay, so what if she has fake tits?
Yeah.
I love them. They look beautiful. What? And she looks great. And she's a much better cosplayer than you are. Stop hating on her and try harder.
Oh dear.
She sews her own stuff, or if she doesn't sew her own stuff, she works with a great community of artists to make her stuff. And she works very, very hard. And she paid money to get those tits. So you shut your mouth.
She earned that.
And
fuck yeah.
You go work your job and you get something just as good as those tits. Gosh damn it.
it's so weird to hear us talk about this, I guess, one segment of the population when, as a magician, when I was first sort of learning how to be a magician, I experienced a lot of hate and backlash from other magicians who didn't want me to be a magician. And it was weird because they had like, you know, these magician message boards, and I would go on and go, I don't know what this trick is. I'm going to describe it. Can someone please tell me what it is so I can research and learn it? And ultimately, I would get, you know, 20 comments about, oh, you're an idiot. You should know that. You should, you know, if you want to be a magician, you should already know that. And it's simple. And it's like, fuck you. It's like, it's people like you that keep, you know, magic and this particular section, you know, insular and unapproachable. And, you know, it's because of people like you that people don't like magicians. You know, is it the same way? Like, do you find like there are people who just don't like cosplayers across the board because of that?
No, thankfully, cosplay community is very welcoming, and everyone's always trying to get someone else to cosplay. Whenever we get approached by a newcomer who's like, oh, I've never cosplayed before, how do I start? We're just throwing dictionaries and books and sending them links. We're going nuts, right? We want them to cosplay. Not only do we want them to cosplay, we want them to cosplay good, like really good. yeah. right? So we tell him, like, go take some sewing classes. Go to this website. Go to this person and you just, like, talk to this person who knows that person. They're going to do this for you. So it's a very welcoming community, of course. But like I said, the problem is with image.
Right.
It's how you present yourself.
I find it's kind of ironic that if you'll find a cosplayer who will create a costume that is incredibly detail oriented and just hits all of the right notes and totally sells a character from a video game or an animated series or a comic book or something, from a character that was created incredibly sexualized to begin with, that a lot right. of these male nerds are fans of,
right.
and then somebody comes to that convention dressed as a character from a product that they have spent their money consuming.
Right.
And then a woman shows up at the event dressed in the exact detailed outfit from the product that they've been consuming. But now that they're seeing it in person and they're like, oh my God, what a slut.
Yeah.
You're a slut because you're dressing like that in public. When you are paying homage to a character that you also love from a thing that was created already in a hypersexualized image.
Yeah, that makes me really upset.
What about this?
Because the irony is lost on them.
Which kind of leads me to my question for you, and that is a lot of these stories, the story with Tony Harris, the story with Dirk Manning.
And the Black Cat cosplayer from New York Comic Con.
Yes, Mandy Caruso, absolutely. Who was harassed by some web TV show thing. I feel like a lot of these people who criticize, who go after and they will attack these women for, you know, showing their skin or not being real nerds. A lot of the thing that it comes back to, a lot of the rhetoric that a lot of these people come back to seems to be that you're just doing this for the attention of men. And I just that expression tells me you've heard this once or twice before.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm doing this for myself. I love my body. I love showing my tits and my cleavage and my butt and my legs and my face. I'm not really here to like specifically please you. Yes, you can go ahead and go back home and fap, but whatever, man. I'm here because I freaking love doing this, and your praise is great, but I don't need any of your negativity. None of it. That's not what I'm here for.
if I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a second, is there a segment of the cosplay community that's there for that? Like, is there for the attention of men?
Well, that's what people perceive. They think that these girls are dressing up all slutty because they want people to, like, they're crying out for attention. They're like, I'm ugly today, so tell me I'm hot. Here are my tits. Like, that's a small portion of the population.
Right.
You know, people they fixate on that idea that this girl has no self-esteem and therefore she's going to show her body off. Like, that's not how it works. Most of us show our bodies off because we love our bodies and we think that we should share that with the world. I can say that I have a lot of confidence and that's why I'm comfortable strutting down, you know, dressed as I am. Actually, an incident happened to me at New York Comic Con. I was dressed as Psylocke, which is a scantily clad outfit. Note to you guys, if you ever try and harass a girl who's scantily clad, chances are she is 10 times more confident and stronger than you. She'll rip you a new one. So be careful, because this guy, it was crowded. I was walking down the aisle in the vendor's hall, and this guy grabs my ass. Like, all of my friends are with me, but I did not turn to my friends for help. I went straight for him. I had this, like, awesome acrylic sword in my hand, so I pointed it right at his chest. I'm like, what did you just do? Did you just grab my ass? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, you should never do that. How could you do that? How dare you? What gives you the right to grab my ass? You apologize right now. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you apologize properly. And I'm like, you will never do that to another woman ever again. I should have smacked him too. Oh God, I would have been so good.
Oh my God.
But I loved how I handled that, and I am actually kind of thankful that he did that, because then I was able to show him what a confident woman is, and hopefully the people who witnessed it
right.
will see that, like, I'm not just this weak little girl who's like, oh no, he touched my butt, boyfriend, go hurt him for me. No, I was not going to let any of my friends step in, because I'm going to defend myself and my honor.
And then afterwards, you should have challenged him to a Psylocke trivia off, which you would have surely screwed him in as well. I look at your cosplay. Psylocke is one of the few that I would actually know, but I've looked at albums of your cosplay photos and been like, wow, what an amazing costume. and then had to Google so that I knew what the reference was.
Yeah.
Because you go for some deep cuts, Chu. You go for some deep cuts.
You're a deep cut
Well,
nerd,
deep yeah. cut as far as I'm concerned. I might be a little bit more mainstream, but...
Yeah, it's a constant battle with me because I really want to cosplay some characters that I am like deeply in love with, but nobody knows who they are. You know? So I'm like, oh, should I just cosplay
I have had conversations where I've checked out 2 minutes in because you dropped 50 names of which I only recognize one. And your nerddom runs deep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm mainly an anime nerd, definitely. Yeah. Like, anime is just, like, flows through my blood. I think I have to, like...
hence your high school nickname.
Yeah, the anime freak. I actually have to, like, try a little bit hard just to, like, remember names and things of, like, comic books and video games because these are newer fandoms to me.
Right.
I only, like, came into them, like, in college, whereas anime has been there since I was, like, 12.
Yeah.
True. What are your favorite animes?
Like, right at this very second.
Yeah, what do you...
Because in, like, 5 minutes, I'm going to name... other animes that are my favorite. Because
what's the new hotness in your life? What's the new anime hotness in your life?
That's a very good question. Okay, so the new anime hotness in my life is Sword Art Online. It's an anime about this new virtual reality MMORPG that's more immersive than World of Warcraft. It's kind of like Second Life and World of Warcraft mixed together.
Right.
It's gorgeous, and you connect to it with your brain. Well, what happened was the first day the game was released, the CEO took out the logout button so nobody could log out. It was
oh no,
and everyone was stuck in that game like a couple thousand people.
People's brains are stuck in the game.
Yeah, their bodies are still connected, but they can't take off the virtual headset without like frying their brain, because that's how it was designed, was to microwave your
brain.
Holy
schmoly.
So it follows like human reactions to how they're dealing with this. Like, they have to fight their way to the top level of the game in order to unlock and leave the game, and it doesn't show you what's happening outside in the world, the crazy like catastrophe that's happened. A lot of people have already died because their bodies have rotted away, but the people who haven't are fighting in the game. They're trying to make their way to the top. There's a lot of people who feel like they're not strong enough, so they stay behind the front lines to like support the people in the front because you have to eat in the game, you have to sleep in the game, you have to build a life with the relationships and everything. It's basically as if someone dumped you into the Dungeons and Dragons world and was like, go. I love this anime. It's really cool.
Wait, is it a series or is it like a single film?
It's a series. Okay. Yeah. It's still airing episodes. It's on like episode 20, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. I love it a lot.
I'll have to check that out.
I'm waiting for a really good character to cosplay from there. Yeah. I mean, I like to pick cosplayers that are kind of scantily clad because I like showing off my bodies. So there have been some girls who have wanted to cosplay, but I'm like, the costume is so boring.
But she's wearing a jumpsuit and she has a helmet.
There's a thing covering her butt. No, no, thank you.
Wowzers.
Yeah, I'm, that's my personal flair. My taste is that I like girls who are scantily clad. Yay.
Me too.
I like looking at them, so I like.
We have so much in common, Stella Chu. You and I.
You know, you haven't done an anime show.
You know what? Because here's the reason why.
You put Chu and BB Hart on it.
Hold on. I haven't done it for two reasons. One, because I myself am not a huge anime fan, so I feel like I would be posing. And also, I didn't really realize that a number of the nerdy burlesquers in this sort of burgeoning troupe, I didn't think I had enough anime fans to really be passionate about it. But heck, I mean, I'm more than willing to put on an anime show. I'm more than willing to learn. You give me all the anime, like all the important ones I need to watch. I will binge watch it.
No,
I will become a fan.
Hmm.
Look at Stella Chu. She's like, she's piercing me. She's stabbing me in the brain with her eyes.
I could possibly have a PhD in anime.
Wow. You're not. You know what? After the show, you and I are gonna talk.
Okay.
Because this might end up being a thing. Then.
Okay. Yay.
So you've mentioned the convention circuit. What are the big ones? What are the big ones that you do every year?
KatsuCon, Otakon, Gen Con Indie. But that's because I perform at Gen Con Indie. I never went to Gen Con Indie until I went
Wait,
to perform. That was awesome.
Did D20 went to Gen Con in Indonesia?
Yeah, okay. It was the best thing ever.
No, the best thing ever was the photos you guys were posting from that trip. That was
yeah,
awesome.
Those photos were sick.
Let's see. Oh gosh, I go to so many Anime Next, Manga Next, Steampunk. Well, sorry, I'm not going to talk about anime. I'm only going to talk about anime conventions and geek conventions. Steampunk World's Fair is kind of a separate fandom. There's Anime Boston. And I have a few new ones I really want to go to if I can get the money.
How many conventions do you personally go to per year?
I think I try and go to 10 a year.
Wow.
And that's all the conventions. Oh, New York Comic Con, you know, big one. PAX East and whatnot. Yeah. I try to go to as many big ones as possible because that's where I'm going to have my money's worth. And that's where a lot of my friends will convene and I can go with them together. Because I don't just want to go to Anime Con and like go by myself.
So, Shu, we're almost at the end of our time, but I wanted to get one final thing from you. And I'm in my head, I kind of think of it as Stella Chu's pro tips for interacting with someone in cosplay. So what are some of the things that, you know, I as a fan, if I see you at a con and I'm going to approach you, what are some of the things that are acceptable and right and appropriate? And what are some of the things that are just not appropriate and not good to do?
Yeah, so what you should do when you see a cosplayer that you like, you know what they're dressed as, or you just appreciate the way they look because their costume is awesome, treat them like a human. Just go up to them and be like, oh my God, that looks great. Like, I love the way you look. Can I take a picture of you? Can I take a picture with you? And that's it. I mean, like, you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to do that. They kind of do that like skeevy, like take a photo without asking and run away type of thing. We want people to take photos of us. That's why we dressed up. We want you, unless it's like I'm mid eating a burger and I've grease everywhere. Like, please don't take a photo of me. I look terrible. But otherwise, give me the attention. I'm here to get happy, positive energy from everyone. I want you to be my friend. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to share my passions with you. Let's geek out together. So just come up to me, start a normal conversation that you would start with a normal person. And the things not to do is to, okay, say you did ask me to take a photo. Well, then don't immediately think that it's time to grope me and hug me and do things that you'd only do with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Like, right. don't put your arm on my, like, hips. Put your arm on my shoulder. Or if I'm wearing, like, a really fragile costume, just don't touch me and kind of do a peace sign or something, because it's my personal bubble. And there's a lot of people here, and it's kind of stressful. And you can assume that I'm a people person, or you can assume that I get nervous in crowds. The best thing to do is to just smile at the camera with me, and not have to like touch me or anything. And unless I say yes, you can touch me, or you know, ask politely. Always ask for permission, because then it doesn't leave any room for both of you to get uncomfortable. Yeah. Those are my tips.
Those are good tips.
That's actually far more straightforward than I thought. I thought there was going to be like a long list of like, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do that.
It's pretty much just don't be a dick.
It's common sense.
Which
it's like,
really
don't,
should, you know,
don't
applies
be a
to
dick.
Everything.
Yeah.
Say hello, ask permission to take a picture, and don't be a dick. Really.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Show appreciation like a normal person.
Yeah.
Oh, and if we look really tired, please buy us a bottle of water because we haven't drank anything all day. And we haven't eaten all day. And our shoes really hurt.
Imagine your shoes always hurt. One more question of advice for you. If somebody is interested in dipping his or her toes in the water of cosplay, where would you recommend they get started?
So if you have a character that you like and you want to cosplay it, then yes, cosplay it. Go ahead and do some research about how to put your costume together. Go ask people how to do it. There's Reddit. There's cosplay.com. You have your fan geeks as well. You can ask them how to make stuff. They can help you make stuff. You have your family. Your mom probably has a sewing machine. Your cousin probably has a sewing machine. And if you don't want to sew it, and if you don't want to like make things yourself, there's Etsy. There's plenty of cosplay shops online. I totally think people should buy cosplay costumes if they can't afford to sew it themselves, or they don't know how to sew it, things like that. Like, there's plenty of like discount cosplay costumes out there. Just go for it and try your best. It's all about being passionate and showing people that you want to do this. If you dress up as this character but you're like really upset about it, then what's the point? You know, you're doing it because you're happy. And I say go for it and don't wait. Don't put it off until Halloween. Don't put it off until next year. Make a costume right now and run around your room. Go to your friend's birthday party in costume. What's stopping you? It's really fun. Trust me, most people who cosplay have not stopped cosplaying. They love it. It's an addiction. And just jump in.
Right. You heard it here, folks. You don't need a convention or a festival to cosplay. Just go to just knock on your neighbor's door. And as Pikachu, and say Pika Pika, and then run away. That's all you gotta do.
When can some of these? When can somebody like say Nelson Lugo?
Yeah.
See you perform live again.
Yes. Where can someone like me?
Or say someone like me.
Like, yeah. Or someone like Schaefer the Dark Lord.
When can we see you perform again?
Well, immediately. Thursday or Friday. I'm performing at the Way Station with Wasabasco. You can actually just look it up. The Way Station is a Doctor Who themed bar down in Brooklyn.
It's glorious.
And I'll be performing there within the next week. And
what's the show?
It's just going to be a general Wasabasco geeky Neo show. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Just very general. It's their like monthly show. And I'm always performing all over the city. I perform like 2 to 3 times per week usually. Except for this week because it's Thanksgiving and I just want to eat and get fat.
Me too. I'm going to cosplay a pie and then I'm going to eat myself.
I'm going to cosplay an uncomfortable, sleepy person. So you.
Oh. Yeah, you could pull that off. Yeah. Thank you so much, Stella Chu, for coming all the way out to Studio 6C and sharing your thoughts on Star Wars and cosplay and misogyny. And thank you so much. This has been Stella Chu.
Choose me.
Many thanks once again to Stella Chu for dropping by the podcast this month. You can check out more of her material at stellachu.com, and that's stellachuu.com, or check her out on Facebook at facebook.com/stellachu. And in that version, there are 5 U's.
5.
Because it's not Chew. Just Stella Chu, it's pronounced Stella Chu.
I choose you, Stella Chu.
So what do you say, Lugo? We'll do some plugs and we'll go home? And by which I mean you'll go home because I live here?
Yes, you live in the spacious and beautiful Studio 6E.
So spacious and
so
beautiful.
I just want to say that I just really had a good time with Stella Chu here, and I think we should have her back at some point. I thought that was a great conversation we had. It touched on a whole bunch of topics we didn't think we were going to get into, and it was a good time. I'm very thankful that she could take time out of her busy schedule to be here.
Likewise. I agree. That's Stella Chu. She's a delight. That's what they say.
They?
Yeah.
Or us. You. I think she's... Well,
the goblins in my head.
Fair enough.
That's who... If I ever say they, that's who I'm referring to.
Got it. I do want to make a correction, though. Last podcast, I told a joke about... And it was a title for your upcoming album.
Can't believe we're still talking about titles for my album.
Look, I'm going to be talking about your album until you actually... put it out into the world.
Release date, eventually, 2013.
And that's as close as the days anybody's going to get. But the joke was, one of the titles that I came up with, or that I claimed I came up with, was The Ides of Mark, which you actually enjoyed.
I thought that was rather clever.
It's the only one from all the suggestions you actually enjoyed.
Right.
It's not mine. I actually read it and forgot that this person had said it first. And I'm going to give credit to Mr. I. Bonds. I'm very sorry for stealing your joke, sir. That was not cool of me. I apologize.
You know, I kind of suspected that you didn't come up with that because I liked it.
Oh, dear God. I'm going to hurt you.
So what's next for you, Nelson Lugo?
I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida.
Ah, the city of lights.
The city of brotherly love.
The windy city.
The city that never sleeps.
The big easy.
The garden state. I've run out of things to say. I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida. I'm going to be in a lovely, wonderful, fantastic show. BBB presents Red Lily Lounge Burlesque After Dark, and it's going to have such wonderful, wonderful burlesquers as Kissa Von Adams, who was just in the Lord of the Rings show, Gams Divine, and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful people. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to fill that classy, classy show with all of my nerdy shenanigans. You hosted this show last month, didn't you?
I did host this show last month.
So if you are in the Orlando area, come on down. Find us, find the invite on Facebook or go to the Red Lily Lounge on, what is that, Friday the 30th. That's when I will be there.
Terrific.
Yeah. And then, what is this? December 1st will be Geek Boys Burlesque, an all-male review. All the nerdy boys are going to get together and they're going to do all of their best nerdy acts for nerds in the audience. So I'm and I love that show a lot. I've made, God, I love that Geek Boy show. I'm so happy that exists in the world. If somebody else was producing it, I would go there and geek out. But I'm very proud that I get to do it.
And if you would like to contact us and send us all of your thoughts and tell us how much you love the show and et cetera, you can email us at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right, epicpodcast@gmail.com, your one-stop shop for all your loving emails for Schaefer the Dark Lord and or Nelson Lugo.
I've grown weary of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 4 of the Epic Podcast. My name is Nelson Lugo.
And my name is Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Have a good one, internets.
Bye. The Epic Podcast is brought to you by Nerdy Show. All programming on the Nerdy Show Network is listener-supported. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, you can show your support by telling a friend or going to nerdyshow.com and clicking the support button. Even a small contribution gets you cool nerdy perks and allows you to take part in our monthly support drive contests. For more episodes of the Epic Podcasts, videos, contests, and other nerdy programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Subscribe to all our latest episodes via the iTunes Store. And remember to follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter @Nerdy Show to keep up to date on the latest Nerdy Show news.